Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Samach Aleph, you'll notice in the upper part of the page a Mishnah, beginning with the expression Elu Teunos Tenufa. Before we actually learn the Mishnah, let us glance at the Nosei, the topic heading that appears in the outside margin of the Gemara that you see on your screen. In our Gemara marking system that uses the Shas Ozir as its cornerstone, we feature topic headings and structural notes that we entitle Mivneh, indicating structure, which explain, in the case of the Nosei, the topic at hand, the new topic that one will learn, and in the case of the Mivneh, those notes present the geometric forms that we use in our marking system and attempt to explain their role in each sugya. So in our Mishnah, we have a note, or the Nosei, that accompanies this section. On the outside margin, we have written, Hemshech HaMishnah, Dili'el, Daf Samach Amud Aleph. This Mishnah represents a continuation of the Mishnah that was featured on Daf Samach Amud Aleph, Be'inyin Tnufa V'Hagosho, B'Menochos Shonos, regarding the requirement, or the lack of a requirement, regarding Tnufa, the waving, and Hagosho, the drawing near, the bringing close of the Mincha to the corner of the Mizbeach. So our Mishnah reads, Elu Teunos Tenufa, V'ein Teunos Hagosha. The following require a waving and do not require the Hagosha, the bringing near of the Mincha to the corner of the Mizbeach. So what is included in this? Lug Shemen Shel Metzora V'Ashomo. The lug is a liquid measure of shemen, of oil, that the Metzora brings when he is achieving his purification from his Metzora state. And the osham, this is an animal korban, an animal sacrifice that he also brings. So the lug and the lug shemen and the metzora need a waving. The pasuk says vehenif oisam. Another example of something requiring tenufa without hagosha, v'ha bikurim kedivrei Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Bikurim, the first fruits that one brings after Shavuos time and presents it to the Kohen, the bikurim are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, these first fruits are brought to the Beis HaMikdash and presented to the Kohen. In the course of the bringing of the bikurim, so Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says, they require tenufa. The emure shalmei yochid, the innards of the private person's korban shlomim, the chozer v'shok shelohen, and the chozer v'shok are the limbs, particular limbs, the chozer and the shok limbs of the korban shlomim also need tenufa without hagosha. Echod anoshim v'echod noshim b'Yisrael, v'lo be'achirim. This expression will be dealt with later in the Gemara, but for the time being, it seems to say whether it be a korban brought by a man or by a woman, and then someone is excluded. So, v'lo be'achirim. Shtei halechem u'shnei kivsei atzeres. The two loaves that are brought on Shavuos time, together with the two sheep that constitute the kivsei atzeres. These also fall under the category of requiring Tnufa, no Hagosha. Ketzat hu oise, how is it accomplished, how is Tnufa accomplished with regard to the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsei Atzeres? Nosein Shtei Alechem al Gabi Shnei Kvosim, the two loaves are placed on the two sheep, Umeniach Shtei Yodav Lamato, and the Kohen places his two arms underneath, Moiluch Umevi Male Umeirid. There is a side waving, and an up-down waving. Molech u'mevi is a pushing out and pushing in. Ma'ale u'moyrid would be an up-down movement. Shenemar asher hunaf v'asher huram. This posuk conveys the idea of the waving and the vertical motion. Tenufa hoisa b'mizrach. the waving could take place even in the east of the Azorah, east of the Mizbeach, and certainly in the west. If one is in the west, he is closer to the Heichal, closer to sanctity. So when the Mishnah says Tenufa took place in the east, it's coming to say even in the east. The Hagosha b'marav, the drawing near when Hagosha is required. So far in this particular Mishnah, we had examples of things that don't require Hagosha, but when Hagosha is required, the meal offering is brought to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, a point at which there is a Yesod, there is a base of the Mizbeach. Tenufos kodmos lahagoshos. When you have a korban that requires both tenufa and hagosha, we'll see that very shortly in the next example of the Mishnah, where you have the minchas ha'omer and the minchas knos of the sota. In such a case, the tenufa shall precede the hagosha. As you can see, we have a slash marking indicating that the next section of the Mishnah is in effect a new category. Another marking we should have pointed out earlier, maybe, was we had at the opening of the Mishnah an underlining of Te'unos Tenufa, the Ein Te'unos Hagosha. This, as we said, was a Mishnah that was a continuation of that which we saw on Daf Samach Omed Aleph. If you have Samach Omed Aleph available, if you can scroll, click back onto that, or flip back to the page, you'll notice we also noted there with an underlining Elu Tunos Hagosha Ve'ein Te'unos Tenufa. Here, in contrast, Elu Tunos Tenufa, the Ein Te'unos Hagosha. In fact, as we said, a different category. In the Mishnah Adaf Samach Omer Aleph, all four categories were listed, and these Mishnayas, starting with Samach Omer Aleph and this Mishnah, completes the explanation of those categories. And now we go to a third category. You can see we have an underlining, in this case, Te'unos Hagosha Utenufa, and this includes, as we said already, the Minchas HaOmer uMinchas Knos, the Omer meal offering, and the Sota, the married woman suspected of immorality. She brings a meal offering called the Minchas Knos that requires Hagosha and Tenufa. Lechem HaPonim uMinchas Nisochim Ein Te'unos Lo Hagosha V'lo Tenufa. The lechem aponim, which sat in the heichal on the shulchan from week to week, the 12 breads, and the minchas nesochim, this is the mincha that accompanied several different types of animal offerings, they do not require hagosha nor tenufa. Reb Shimon Omer, shaloisha minim teunin shaloish mitzvos. There are three examples of korbanos. Amongst all three of these examples, you will find three requirements. However, if you take any one example, you will find only two of the three requirements with regard to any one example. Shtayim b'chol achas v'achas u'shlishis ein bohem. As we just said, there are two mitzvahs with regard to each one of the three following examples, but two mitzvahs and not the third. V'elu hein. First, the Mishnah lists off the three examples before discussing the mitzvos. The three examples are Zivchei Shalmei Yochid, number two, Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. So far we've mentioned the private Shlomim, the Yochid, and the public Korban Shlomim, which is in fact brought on Shavuos, the Kivsei Atzeres, and three, V'osham Mitzora. The Mitzora, when he finishes his period of Mitzora impurity, he brings a Korban Osham. At this point now, the Mishnah goes over the three categories. As you can see, we've underlined and numbered example, Zivchei Shalmei Yochid is underlined. You see a number one skipping a line. You'll see the number two under Zivch and an underlining Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor. And the line after that, toward the end of the line, a number three, V'osham Mitzora. So the three examples are going to be reviewed now, featuring the two mitzvos that accompany each one of the examples. In order to make things clearer, we've also used a squiggle underline under the expressions te'unin, means required, and The ein bohem is the expression indicating that which they do not require. So the Mishnah goes on. Zivchei shalme yochid teunin smichos smicho chayim. That's the placing of the hands on the animal while it's alive. Utnufa shrutin, and a waving of the animal parts after it's slaughtered. The ein bohen tnufo chayim. There is no live waving with regard to the zivchei shalme yochid. Number two, zivchei shalme tzibor teunin. They do require tnufa chayim ushrutin. The little numberings or letterings that you see here are a carryover from the first example. In the first example, we called smicha aleph, tnufa shrutin beis, and tnufa chayim gimel. In addition to that, if you notice the level of detail in our markings, the mitzvahs that are required, we have a little parentheses around the letter. The mitzvah that's not required is left without a parenthesis. So aleph and beis in the first example are with parentheses, the gimel is not. In example 2, the zivchei shalmei tzibor, we've referred to the first mitzvah with a little gimel, because that is corresponds to the gimel in the first example. So the zivchei shalmei tzibor do require tnufa chayim and shrutin, waving after they're slaughtered. However, the ein bohem smicha, you'll notice the little aleph here, is without a parenthesis. That's the example of the mitzvah that is not required in this second example. And a third category, the osham mitzora, what are the two mitzvahs that it has? Ta'un smicha utnufa chay. It has those two. The ein boy tnufa shachud. It doesn't have the waving after it's slaughtered. Before learning the Gemara, let's glance at the side. We have our nosei, a topic heading. Tnufa ba'osham mitzora v'lug hashemen. The waving involving the osham mitzora and the accompanying lug of oil. This was actually mentioned at the very beginning of our Mishnah as the example of something that requires waving and no hagosha. Tanu Rabbanan. The hikriv oisoi l'osham v'es lug hashemen v'heinif oisom tnufa. This pasuk is, as you can see, is referring to the lug of oil and the osham. Malame, this pasuk teaches us, shetunin tenufa ke'echad. The osham, the animal sacrifice, and the oil, the flask of oil, require waving together. Uminayin shim heiniv zeh ba'atzmo yotza. From where can one derive that if one were to do the waving separately, the osham, the animal by itself, and the oil by itself, he is in fulfillment? Talmud lomar, v'hikriv oisoi le'osham, v'hinif. That indicates a waving of a singular item. And in fact, that is mashma. That v'hinif is going on the oil by itself. That's a point that Rashi brings out across from here. V'hikriv oisul oshim v'es lug hashemen v'hinif. The mashma v'hinif alug l'chudei koi. So we see that the oil could be waved by itself. The Gemara now asks, or the Brisa asks, Yochol Yonif V'yachzir V'yonif, should it be done as follows, that you wave them together, and then wave each one by itself? And that way you would accomplish the beginning of the quote here, the green of the pasuk that indicates you Hainif Oysam, and then you would be in accomplishing that which was alluded by the second quote, where it says V'hikriv Oysoi. Talmud Lomar, Tnufa. Therefore, we darshan the word Tnufa, which Rashi explains is really an extra word, because the Pasuk could have simply said Vehinif Oisam, and yet it said Vehinif Oisam Tnufa. So the word Tnufa tells me Velo Tnufos. In other words, only one waving takes place, not this, as suggested, multiple wavings. The Pasuk says Lifnei Hashem, and that's understood to be B'mizrach, meaning even in the east. so that when you see the expression Lifnei Hashem, that includes the eastern part of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. The Gemara asks, Baha Omar, but we have in another context, in the context of Hagosha, the Pasuk says Lifnei Hashem, and there it's mentioned Yochol B'Marov. When I see the expression Lifnei Hashem, am I not to assume that that means the West? And the idea here is the West and only the West, which is a place closer to the Hecha, closer to the sanctity. The sanctity being concentrated in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, where the Oron Bris Hashem was. So we have a problem on hand, and that is, when you see the expression Lifnei Hashem, in the first Tanaic source we see, that means even the Mizrach. The second Tanaic source that deals with Hagosha indicates that it's in the West. Amri, the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when is Marov a requirement? Mincha. The Korban Mincha must be brought to the Western section. The Ikri Chatos. The Mincha is referred to by the term Chatos. It says, Kodesh Kodoshimi Kachatos, regarding a Mincha. The Chatos Teuno Yesoid, and the Chatos Korban, an animal sacrifice, when you have to spill out the remnant blood of a Korban Chatos, you spill it to the base, Yesod, the base of the Mizbeach. The Keren Droimis Mizrochis Lo Hoya Loy Yesoid. And the southeastern corner, we didn't mention too much about the need for the south, but in the case of the Shvichas Shirayim of the Korban Chatos, you have to have also an element El Pnei HaMizbeach, which is indicative of the south. So when you speak about the din of the Chatos, the blood of the Chatos, you have to have an element of south, and also an element of Lifnei Hashem. Now, if you were to think that Mizrochis would be Lifnei Hashem, it's not going to suffice in the case of the Chatos, because in the case of the Chatos, you also have to have Yesod, a foundation of the Mizbeach, the base of the Mizbeach. And in the southeastern corner, you don't have a base. We have a little diagram in the lower corner of our page, the lower outside margin. You can see a little aerial view of the Mizbeach with the Yesod running around the Marov and the Tzafon, and not going around the southwestern corner. So that's true only with regard to the Chatos, because of its need for Yesoid. Aval Hocha, but in the case of the Oshem and the Lug, Lifnei Hashem Karina Bey, the Mizrach is also considered Lifnei Hashem, being that the issue of the waving, the Tenufa, there's no need for Yesod. V'habikurim k'divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov. Our Mishnah said that another example of something requiring tenufa and no hagosha would be the bikurim according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov. My Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov. What is the source in which Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov appears saying this? So, Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see, it appears in a frame, as do all our Tanaic sources that appear in the Gemara marking system. The pasuk says, "V'loka hakain hatene miodecha v'hinichoi," in the context of the bikurim. Limeid al habikurim she'tunin tnufa. Divrei Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. He sees in this pasuk that waving is required. Now, as you look at this pasuk, you don't really see the word tnufa mentioned. So the Gemara asks, "My time of the Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. What's the basis of his viewpoint?" Answer, Gomar Yad Yad Mishlomim. He has a word comparison, Gzera Shava, from the Korban Shlomim. Ksiv Hocha, it says, by the Bikurim, Veloka Chakein Etenem Yodecha. Uksiv Hosam, and it says there, in the case of the Shlomim. And there is it's known that in the case of the Shlomim, that tenufa is mentioned. And it says there by the Shlomim where tenufa in fact is mentioned. It says yodav tevi'ena. So you have the word yodav or yad. The basis of the word yodav is yad, meaning hand. You have that by the Shlomim, and we saw by the Bikurim you have miyodecha. We've dashed underlined the words that are being compared to one another. Ma kan kohen, just like by the Bikurim, the kohen is involved, and that's apparent from the psukim that are relevant to the Bikurim. Af lahalon, so too by the Shlomim, kohen, a kohen is to be involved. Uma in the waving, uma lahalon bailim, and just like by the Shlomim, the bailim is involved with the waving. Af kan, so too by Bikurim, we want the owner of the fruits that's bringing them also to be involved with the waving. So what have we said so far? We've said that Bikurim has a waving to it, as is derived from Shlomim, and the Kohen and owner are involved in the waving. Ha Ketzad, how is this to be accomplished? Answer, Kohen miniach yodoy tachas yedei bailim umeinif. The Kohen places his hands under the arms of the owner, and they together do the waving. The Gemara asks, V'leimo nami k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah took pains to indicate that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one that would say Bikurim requires tenufa. Well, by the same token, Rabbi Yehuda could have also been cited as someone requiring tenufa by the Bikurim. So the question is, why did our Mishnah not make mention of this fact? And you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. This is a she'elah, a question, and we call this a long question marking. All of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the question. We now see a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yehuda points out that Bikurim, as he sees it, requires tenufa. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. This is a pasuk from Bikurim, and we're also going to emphasize that this is pasuk yud in Dvarim Perikavav. It says there vihinachtoi, zu tenufa. The word vihinachto in Dvarim Chavav, Pasuk Yud, indicates waving. Ata oimer zu tenufa o eino ela hanocha. Maybe it doesn't mean waving, but it means literally placing down. The placing down of the fruits next to the Mizbeach. So to that we respond, Kishu Omer v'hinichoi, when in Pasuk Dalid you see v'hinicho mentioned, Hare Anocha Omor. So the need for the placing down of the fruits is already accounted for. Ha Amar Mekayim v'hinachto. So what am I to do with v'hinachto that's found in Pasuk Yud? Zu tenufa. This is a reference to something else, namely to the waving. That's the end of the question. The question being, here you see Rabbi Yehuda saying Bikurim requires tenufa. So why did the Mishnah not make mention of that? Two answers. Omar Rava, Hoyul uposach boyakosuf trila. The posuk that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov cited, that was posuk Dalid that served as the where the Yodecha was mentioned, and he made a word comparison, Yad, Yad, to Shlomim. The Yad word was found in Pasuk Dalid. Rabbi Yehuda's Pasuk that teaches waving is Vihinachto, that's Pasuk Yud. So since Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov's Pasuk preceded Rabbi Yehuda's Pasuk, the Mishnah gave precedence to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as being the author of the idea that Bikurim needs Tenufa. A second answer, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omar, Hoyo v'Rav Guvrei. Since Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was an exceptionally wise scholar, it seems to be a person who was head and shoulders above his colleagues, so he is given the honor of being the one authoring this idea. But in neither of these cases are we suggesting to exclude Rabbi Yehuda, but in fact Rabbi Yehuda also does say that Bikurim requires tenufa, and simply our Mishnah for either one of these two reasons did not cite Rabbi Yehuda as well. The emure shalme yochid v'chose v'shok shelohem, the innards of the privately brought korban shlomim, those are the emurim and the chaze v'shok, the chaze, the breast, and the shok, the part of the leg of the animal, require tenufa. Echod ha'anoshim ve'echod ha'noshim v'Yisrael avalo v'achirim. We've dashed underline the expression ve'echod ha'noshim, which would indicate that the a woman who brings a shal me'yochid, there is a need for the tenufa. And the end of the Mishnah says v'Yisrael avalo v'achirim, which would sound like men and not women. So there seems to be an inherent contradiction. My Ko'omar, this gives rise to the Gemara's question of what is going on. In the outside margin, under our Nosei heading accompanying this section, we've entitled this Tnufas Shlomim Shel Isha, the waving of the Shlomim of a woman, who brings a Shlomim sacrifice. So as we pointed out, there's a seeming contradiction. On the one hand, you say, Echod Hanoshim ve'Echod Hanoshim, both men and women, their Shlomim needs tufa. On the other hand, you say Avalo Bachirim, indicating not women. My Komar, what's going on? Omar Rav Yehuda Hochi Komar. Thusly, we should understand our Mishnah. And since this is a re-understanding of the Mishnah, we've treated it as a Tanaic source with a frame. The Mishnah is to be understood as follows: Echod Anoshim ve'Echod Noshim Korbanon Toun Tnufa. The animal, the sacrifice brought by men and women, requires tenufa. So as far as the animal is concerned, the animal brought by either gender is subject to tenufa. However, the action, utenufa atzmo b'Yisrael avolo b'dei noshim, the waving action is to be done by men only. The owner will do the tenufa, but not the woman who is the owner of her shlomim. She does not participate in the tenufa. In that case, the Kohen alone will do the tenufa. Tonu Rabbonan, B'nei Yisrael. This is a posuk from Vayikra Perek Zayin, posuk Chav Tes. B'nei Yisrael, Menifin, V'ein Ho'ivdei K'chava Menifin. The posuk indicates B'nei Yisrael, and that's a limitation expression to say that Jews do the waving, and the Gentile who also dedicates a sacrifice, but he does not do the waving. B'nei Yisrael menifin, vein hanoshim menifos. The male, b'nei, indicating men, b'nei Yisrael, not b'nos Yisrael, and hence women are likewise excluded from the waving. Om Rabbi Yossi, motzinu shechilek hakosov ben korban Yisrael lekorban oivdei kechavim vekorban noshim besmicha. We have found that the Torah makes a distinction in the case of smicha, the placing of the hands on an animal, on a sacrifice. That mitzvah is called smicha. There is a difference as follows. The korban of ovdei kechavim, of Gentiles and of women, do not require smicha at all. The animal itself does not require smicha. Yochol nachloik betenufa. Should we make the same distinction with regard to waving and say that the animals brought by a woman or a Gentile do not require a waving? To this we say loy. In the case of the tenufa, we will not make that distinction. Rather, in the case of tenufa, all animals, all korbanos that require tenufa will receive, the animal will be subject to the tenufa process, making no distinction between Yisrael and Noshim and Avodi Kechavim. So the Brisa goes on to ask, like, why, or point out, explain why this difference. Mali Chilek Besmicha, why is it that we make the distinction in the case of the Smicha? Shasmicha Bebailim. Smicha is necessary to be done by the owner. And if we're Memayet, the owner, so then there will be no smicha whatsoever. So in the case of the owner woman or owner Gentile, and we exclude him, so then there's no smicha to be done. However, nachlok betenufa, shatenufa bekayanim. Should we make the same distinction when it comes to the waving? The waving can be accomplished by a kohen. And therefore, when it comes to the owner who is an akum or a woman, they can appoint the kohen to be their shaliach, their representative for the tenufa. im kain, if that be the case, that they do require tenufa, ma tamu lomer b'nei Yisrael, so what does the exclusionary expression b'nei Yisrael accomplish? Answer, b'nei Yisrael menifin, vein o'evdi kechove menifin. B'nei Yisrael menifin, vein hanosha menifos. The exclusion serves to exclude them from the action of the tenufa, but not to exclude their sacrifice from tenufa, which, as we pointed out before, is different when it comes to smicha. There, the sacrifice of noshim and akum is excluded from smicha altogether. Tanyo idoch. We have another Tanaic source citing the same posuk of Bnei Yisrael in Vayikra Zayin posuk Chavtes in the context of the waving. Ein li'elo Bnei Yisrael. Geirim v'avonim shuchorim minayin. What about converts and slaves that have been set free, that they also are to do tenufa? Talmud lomar hamakriv. Hamakriv means whatever state, whatever status he is, even if he's not a born Jew, but he happens to be a convert or a freed slave. A freed slave is an individual that when he's mishuchar, he becomes considered a regular Jew. So the word hamakriv includes these people as well. Oy eino elo ze kohen. Elo ze kohen hamakriv. Maybe the word hamakriv is not coming to include them, but is telling me that the kohen is the one that does the tenufa. Kishuomer yodav teviena. When the pasuk says in pasuk lamed, it says yodav teviena. Hare bailim omur. The havamina. Let's go over the havamina before this. The Gemara, the Brisa said, O Eino Elo Ze Kohen Hamakriv. He is the one, the Kohen is the, since the Pasuk uses the word Hamakriv, it could have been understood to refer to the Kohen. He's the one that offers the innards, the chelev of the Korban on the Mizbeach. So the word Hamakriv had a connotation of Kohen. Kohen only, as opposed to what was suggested that hamakriv is an inclusionary expression to include geirim and avodim shuchorim. So to this, the Brisa responds and says that in fact hamakriv is not going to be limited to the kohen, because you have the expression yodav tivi'ena, and that is harei bailim amur. That's a reference to the owner. Ha ketzad. So how is this accomplished? We have on the one hand a reference to the kohen, which in fact is what hamakriv seems to indicate now, because we have yodav tiviena to include the owner. So we have kohen and owner involved. So how is tenufa accomplished? Kohen meniach yodav tachas yidei habailim. The kohen places his hands under the arms of the owner. U meinif. Ketzad oiseh. And how is it done with regard to the placing of the meat on their arms? Ketzad oise miniach imurim al pisas hayad. The innards are placed on the arms. The choze v'shok alehen. These limbs, the choze and shok limbs of the animal, are placed upon the emurim that were on the arms. Ubechomokim sheish lechem alechem milamala. And wherever you have a waving involving a sacrifice accompanying which is bread as well, so the bread is on top, is above the choze v'shok. So far, what have we described? We've described a certain, we'll call it a tower, if you will, the top of which is the, during the waving, is the choze v'shok. If there happens to be bread, that's on top. Under the choze v'shok are the emurim. Under the emurim are the arms. We saw the arms of the owner and the arms of the kohen. Hecha, the Gemara asks, where do you have bread that accompanies a korban requiring a waving? Omer of papa b'miluim. This is a korban that was brought during the consecration of the Mishkan, during the Miluim, the days of consecration of the Mishkan. Rashi quotes the pasuk that is relevant to this source. My taima, At this point, the Gemara is asking, and we see we have a semicolon indicating that the Mai Taima was not a direct flow coming off of Miluim, but rather Mai Taima, why is it that the Chozeh V'Shok are placed on the Emurim? On the outside margin, we've labeled this section of Gemara under our Nosei heading, Minayin de Bishas Tnufa Bo'inun Chozeh L'malo V'Emurim L'mata. From where do we know that at the time of the waving, the Chozeh limb is above and the innards are below? So we will see in the course of the Gemara three psukim that are cited. And as we look at the psukim, we'll notice a seeming almost contradiction or seeming discrepancy when it comes to order of items. So the Gemara in asking, how do you know that the Chozeh is above the Emurim? So, e lemo mishum dichtiv, if you want to cite posuk, this we'll call this posuk number one. Shoy katruma v'chazei hatnufa al ishe hachalavim yoviu lohaniv tnufa. Notice with our markings, we have two types of slashed underlining. The limb, the chazeh, and then we have that is emphasized with a diagonal slash underline and a horizontal slashed underline, dashed underline, under the word al. This is to enable you to see simply chozeh al, that the chozeh is on top. So if you want to cite this pasuk as the source for the chozeh to be on top, v'hoksiv, but there's another pasuk, we call this pasuk number two, it says, es hachelev al hechozeh yivienu. Notice with the markings, we have al hechozeh, that the chelev, which is the innards, is on the chozeh. In other words, the chozeh is on the bottom. Omar Abaye. Abaye says, really, well, as far as tenufa is concerned, during the waving, the chozeh is on top. This number two pasuk is Hahu the Maisi Lekoyim Mibeis Hamit Bachayim Veromi Le. This describes the case of the Kohen bringing the meat after the sacrifice is slaughtered before the waving. The Beis Hamit Chaim is the slaughter site. And when he brings it from the slaughter site, he brings it with the Chelev on top, with the innards on top, and the Chozeh V'Shok on the bottom. That Kohen then flips it over to the hands of the one who's going to do the waving. So in flipping it over, the Chozeh V'Shok, which were on the bottom from the slaughter site, are now on the top at the point the waving will take place. The Gemara asks, but we have a third pasuk, V'oksi v'yasimu es ha-chalovim al ha-chazos. The chalovim are on the Chozeh. So we see once again a reference to the Chozeh being on the bottom. To this, the Gemara answers, "Hahu, the Yohiv Le Lekoin Achrina, the Ozil Umaktir Le." That's referring to the handoff from after the waving to the Kohen that's going to take it to the Mizbeach to be offered in the fire. Specifically, the Emurim, the Chelev, will be put in the fire. So what you in effect have here are three koihanim. You have the one bringing it from the slaughter site to the kohen number two who's going to do the waving, and kohen number two does the waving, transfer to kohen number three who's going to take it off to be burnt. Ha v'ha komash malon, and this tells us the bo'inon shloisha koihanim that we require three koihanim. Mishom dechsiv, because it says in Mishlei Beroiv Am Hadras Melech that through the multitudes, greater numbers of people involved creates greater honor to the king. So that in order to glorify the service in the Beis Hamikdash to the Almighty, wherever we can arrange, let us say, for more people to be involved, the better. So in the process involving the waving, the before and after, we have three Kohanim involved. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.